must in some way built this into our system. Somehow there must be a need to avoid being trapped. How does that relate? If you don't have flexibility, if you don't have a place to go, you could wind up being trapped. So I thought about the basic instincts. And let's think about instincts, right? We got food, we got shelter, you got to go get food, we know that. You have to eat. You have to have shelter because the elements are a little too powerful for our frail human skins. You know, sometimes you got to stop the rain from just drowning you. Umbrellas. And you have to have, you have to mate. Because you have to find a mate for a couple of reasons, but possibly because there's a biological imperative that says you've got to procreate. You have to bring new babies onto the earth and keep the race going. So that's one, right? Now, what would nature do to give you, to make sure these things happen? That you get fed? And what is the one missing element here when we talk about instincts? And that's the fear of being killed. They never talk about it as an instinct. They talk about the fight or flight reaction, and they say that's a reaction. But is it a basic instinct? So here's my question about, what about the fear of being killed? What about being predated, meaning having a predator come along and gobble you up? Isn't it possible that we each have inside us somewhere, in order to have survived, a fear of being hurt and killed by someone else? Don't we have that instinct? Well, of course we do, but how come nobody talks about it? How come we don't talk about this natural instinct to avoid being trapped or being killed? So we look at something like concern, caution. And we say, well, it's natural to be concerned and to look over your shoulder. It's natural. It's natural to be worried about what could hurt you. That's natural, right? And then it's natural to be sure, and here's where the big one comes in for our discussion today, that you can always escape. A friend of mine recently told me about her traveling on bridges, and she said to me, that she finds bridges not as secure as they used to be because of reading about so many old bridges falling down. She said, I used to not think about driving across the bridge. Now I drive across the bridge, and I'm thinking to myself, what if something happened? What would I do? She doesn't have a great terror of the bridges, but she's thinking, what would I do if something happened? What is my escape? Escapes. Another human instinct, the need to find an escape. Why do we know about that? We know that when humans decide to take their leisure time, what do? They say, you know, if you're a working person, have a great escape. Go on a vacation. They call them escapes. Why do they call them escapes? That's a funny word. A vacation is an escape, as if you're going to be eaten if you don't go. You're going to be killed if you don't go. What are you escaping from? It means, why do they call it an escape? Why don't they make it a go-to? You know, why don't they make it a place of beauty, but an escape? It's as if you're a human in today's society, that you are going to be trapped in your job, in your marriage, with your kids, with all of your responsibilities, and you need to get away from it. Nature is a funny thing. I think nature builds in ways of depressurizing people who are pressured. I think the idea of vacation is very important so you can take some of the pressure off. I even suspect, and this may sound far afield, but I suspect that menopause is an attempt by nature to reduce the pressure of responsibility, to take you off the responsibility and the tension that comes when you're far more before menopause, when you're, you know, a mating human being who is keeping things going, you know, and having children and all that. Nature somehow wants you to have your escape. How do we know that? Did you ever pick up a cat? And if you hold a cat in a certain way and the cat anticipates that if it wanted to get away, it couldn't, the cat jumps off right away. Cats know they must have their escape. Cats, if they hear a noise, you know how fast they move, right? They got to have an escape. You must have an escape. Think about humans and what humans do when they are when they're finding their leisure time. So very often you go to a gym. What do you do in a gym? You exercise. How? Running is very important. What does running really do for you unconsciously? You know, inside your mind, what does it mean when you're fleet of foot? Escape. Escape potential. See? Biking. Escape potential. Treadmills. People who could run on treadmills for long periods of time. Why? It's almost as if the brain is saying, train yourself to get away. Learn to find an escape. Don't get trapped in this immobile body. Make yourself move. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. I'd like you to consider this need to escape that you may have, the fear of being trapped. Agoraphobia is a very interesting word. Agora, which is a kind of sweater. No, agora, that's angora. That's angoraphobia when you're afraid of sweaters. Agoraphobia is fear of open spaces in a way, but it also means being trapped away from your safe place, away from home. Being trapped in an open space. Did you ever see an animal? You know, there are many animals who, I had two cats, and one cat would always walk out into the open, and the other cat would always walk under a chair, would only walk under shelter. Right, that cat would be anywhere as long as it knew that whatever the falcons were in the sky or the eagle that was going to come down and get it, it was defended. So there's a fear of being wide out in the open that some animals have, and we must have. And therefore we confine ourselves. Fear of being trapped. But then what happens in love? What happens in marriages? What happens? You get in the marriage, you get responsibility, you get children. You have a house. You are now keeping your children going, and you have a job. And you have a husband. And you are going to the supermarket, and the supermarket salesperson is treating you like junk because they don't even think you're an important being. And you're loaded down, and you're carrying this stuff all back, and you say to yourself, how did I get here? How am I going to get away? What am I going to do? It's little wonder that so many people who are stuck in that position may have affairs with people, you know, like they talk about Real Housewives, or they talk about, you know, how they might have affairs with boys or with the pool guy or the guy or the trainer or things like that. Escape. Got to get away. Got to get away. Got to get away. Men having their affairs, escape, got to get away, got to get away. The need to get away, the need to feel it. You've all, I think, have gone through it. They have part of the human mind is always developing what we call an exit strategy. Do you have an exit strategy? Do you know how you're going to get out of it? Do you know if you're in this marriage and you want out of it, how you could get out? Do you know how you could take your children and leave? Do you ever think about it? That's what I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you about that today. I want to hear about your need and your fear of being trapped. Let's look at some of the other elements of feeling trapped. You know, one of the things that make you feel less trapped than anything else is money. Yep, that's why people feel you get caught in the middle. You know, there's a song from Summertime. I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I don't have to worry about what's going to be stolen. I got no lock on the door. That's no way to be. They can steal my rug from the floor. That's okay with me, because the things that I crave, like the stars and the skies, are all free. Those are the lyrics. So some people have nothing, and they feel the absolute freedom of having nothing, and they are not trapped because they're not protecting their possessions. But people who are protecting their possessions very often feel trapped unless they can build a big enough thing to protect themselves. So what do? You get lawyers, protect you. You get insurance, protects you. You get a house in a community, protect you. You get a group of people, protect you. You have all of this protection, and you keep working at your protection so that you cannot, that you eventually can feel some kind of freedom. Now you can take a walk, right? Now you have all your protection, you can take a walk, and therefore you don't have this fear of being trapped, but you're trapped by your possessions. See, you get trapped by the things you own. How many of you ever thought buying a house was a very good idea? And then you bought the house and you found the house owned you. It owns you. It becomes, you're now trapped. You're in that spot. So it's an attitude, of course. It's all in our mind. But we live with it and we live in fear of it. And it really, really relates to some of the greatest pains that people go through. This is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind. Back with you, and we want to take your calls real early on today because I haven't spoken to you in quite a while. 212-209-2900 is our number, 212-209-2900. Don't be suspicious of that wanderlust that you have inside there, my friends. Just because there's a part of you that feels that restlessness, the restlessness does not necessarily mean, you know, that there's something wrong with you. It could be something very right with you. It could be that you are keeping us alive. Because here's what I think. If we didn't have the fear of being trapped and the need for novelty,
no calls,
then we would have never, ever gotten from out of Africa. We would have never gone up to the cold countries. We would have never migrated. We need to migrate, and we needed to migrate. And in order to migrate, we needed to be able to go from, to have some kind of urge to go there. And what would bring you there? What would make you move from one spot to another? And it's this instinct, this thing that says, I better be careful, I'll be trapped back there. Crossipterygian, which was the first lung-filled, you know, the first lungfish? Yes. How do I know that? In my anthropological studies, the first fish that came up on land was called the Crossipterygian. And the Crossipterygian was a lung, he had lungs. Right, and he crawled on his lungs. He used his lungs to crawl along the land. But why did he do it? Because it was getting too crowded in the water. He couldn't lay his eggs over there, so he decided to lay his eggs on land. She laid her eggs on land. The Crossipterygian was the first fish that got up there and got on top of the land, and then it like laid its eggs there. But why? Because it would be trapped in the water by the other fish. See, the other fish were kind of crowding it out. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there. I know there's someone there. We'll just make that connection. It's the first connection of the week. Takes a little time. Hi there. Okay, Reggie, I don't hear the caller. Oh, that's it. Hi there. You're on the air. All right, 212-209-2900. Okay, hi there.
Hi, 212-209.
Hello.
Hello, could you turn down your radio, please?
Hello.
Can you turn down your radio?
It's off now, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you're on the air, hi.
Okay, my comment is, in this economy, if that's happening in our life, my husband is doing very poorly in his business because of the economy. And I just sat down last night with him, and he just seems like a broken soul because he's got the mortgage and the kids and everything. And I'm just struggling with how to get God into our lives to just get us through this. Because
yeah.
I can see how people just have such a hard time and want to give up on their relationship where, you know, we're not really talking because I spend too much money on this or that, but their necessities. And, you know, like you were saying about escape, I'm going to escape with
how,
a few
how
girls.
Long, how long do you know him?
My husband, 22 years.
22 years ago, what was he like?
Happier.
Yeah, happy guy, right? And what did he like to do? What did you and he do? Did you go dancing? Did you do sports?
Yeah.
What did you do? You went dancing, right?
Right.
Have you two danced in a while?
We have a handicapped child, so life is just so hard to spend the money on a sitter and
well, what about dancing? And what about dancing in the house?
Okay, I can bring that up. Hadn't occurred to me.
Okay, so let me go back to you a moment. I don't want you to bring it up. I want you to do it. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Now, what did he like? And 22 years ago, did he like the Glenn Miller band or did he like rock and roll? What did he
like? Rock and roll.
And what rock and roll did he like? Like the Jefferson Airplane and stuff like that? What did he like?
I'd have to really think about it. It's been so long since we listened to music.
Well, I want you to think about it because I want you to think about it. Go back and think about what you used to do together. Did you listen to the Beatles? What did you listen to?
Right.
Now, one has to wonder why you took music out of your homes.
What?
One has to wonder why you took music out of your homes, because you don't have you don't have music in your house.
Right. Well, I do, but in my own time when I'm taking a walk or something.
But not in the house.
Right, no. More Barney.
So maybe it's time to bring your husband the belief that he's not a second-rate kid. Which is what he feels like, because he feels like a second-rate kid. It's more Barney than it is his music. And maybe he has a chance for him to feel some of his value. And I would not do it by trying to impose God on him.
Right.
I wouldn't do it that way, because that wouldn't get to him, as well as you and he lightly dancing without any ceremony, having the music on and saying, hey, Chuck, whatever his name is, what's his name?
Mike.
What's your name, by the way?
D.
Hey, Mike. Let's dance. And it's all it has to do. As much as he's resist you, as much as he'll resist you, get him up on the dance floor. And it'll show him where his spirit is. Because what happens when you get trapped like this is you get dispirited. Part of the idea of putting people in prisons is that you could take their spirit away by surrounding them, by giving them no space. See, and he just has to realize that he has got space.
Right.
He's got to stretch and yawn and kind of reach out.
Yeah, because my heart is just going out for all the pressure, but being we have a handicapped child, I can't help as much financially because I'm kind of tethered home. And
yeah, it's not about money. It's not about money. It's about spirit. It's about spirit. I know people who get through all of this stuff and they keep their spirit. So find it. Find the things of the spirit. And when he does the words about blaming you for spending too much money, understand this poor soul is lost in his own cave.
Right. Okay.
You know? Chuckle at him. Tickle him.
Okay.
Get him
Thank
to
you.
Dance. Sure.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hey. Hi there. You're on the air.
Okay. Reggie.
Yes, this is not Reggie.
Ludwig again.
What
Hello.
Did you? Yes.
Oh, yeah, Colin got disconnected.
Okay, you're on the air now.
Whoa, okay. Ready, anytime.
Well, okay, what did you want to say?
Oh, Armand. This is Armand?
Yes.
Oh, hi, it's Reggie. It's Ludwig. How are you?
Hello, Ludwig. How are you?
Good. I think I chose my profession because of that concept of running around a lot.
And what is your profession?
Well, I drive around.
Absolutely. You know, drivers need freedom, and they're afraid of being trapped. I very often think that people's choice of cars is that. And then I also think that in society, one of the ways that a young woman values a man is by the kind of car he has.
No other calls.
Really, as to whether or not that man can take her away from her being trapped as well. So something in nature may be designed that says if you are swift of foot, you're more attractive than if you're not. So you're a driver, and you've always loved your wandering mind, right? And your wandering foot. You love to see things?
Absolutely. Well, I drive people around all day long, and we go, I go to different places. Yeah.
And so that's a beautiful thing. Now, is there at any time do you settle down? At any point do you settle into who you are?
Well, let me add some to it. I have a motorcycle, too. When I'm not doing the driving for the profession, I wander, I needed to get a motorcycle about 7 years ago just to, I guess, escape, like you said.
Yeah, just to feel that, the wind in your hair and the moving down the highway. Do you share your freedom with anybody, Ludwig? Yeah.
This is the big. I'm trying to.
And what's the problem you're having? Are you afraid of being trapped?
Probably that's the reason, but it's just something. I wouldn't say it's foreign to me, but it's. For a while, I like to be alone more than I wanted to be with somebody.
Sure, and that's many people who like that.
That was a big problem to other people.
Yes, I understand. I understand because people don't understand somebody's need for aloneness the way you have it. Sometimes
I'm not lonely. I wouldn't say I love being alone. I when I'm alone, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, there's a thing, Ludwig. There's a thing in the Enneagram, Enneagram, called the 5 personality, the number 5. I think you should look into it. And
I read the Enneagram, and I relate more to a 4, but I have a 5 wing.
Well, that's it, then. And, if only you could take the words that come from that, a 4 with a 5 wing, you, and give it to everybody you meet, they would say, oh, look, it's part of him.
That's who I am, right. In other words, it doesn't mean I have all these. They label me psychologically with the fear of this and the fear of that when they're medicated. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
That's the way I am. They call me fear of intimacy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we invented that word, fear of intimacy. I know. It's something that was a way of accusing people who will not walk into the trap.
Exactly. Or be as close as they want me to be to them because of the way they define it.
Ludwig, you sound like a beautiful man. I hope you enjoy your travels. Thank you for calling in.
Talk to you later.
Right.
All right, bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call before our break. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Armand. I really enjoy your show. And my take is a little different, and my problem, I guess, is a little different insofar as I really seek sovereignty. And I'm trying to find sovereignty.
What does that mean, sovereignty?
To me, it means personal space in the fact that you are in control of your own destiny.
Yeah, it's a tough thing.
It's kind of hard. You know, I live in the city, born in Brooklyn and raised in Brooklyn. And, you really have to be tough growing up in, and I've seen a lot of things in the streets of Brooklyn. And my thinking is that it was all for a purpose, all for a reason. It's something that I'm supposed to do. The reason why I actually survived those streets is to do something greater. And I think it is what I need to do is find where I am and take control of myself. You know, they say that if you don't control yourself, someone is out there to control you. And that's like how I grew up, in the fact that I didn't want anyone to take control over me. So I always had to keep myself more or less like in a cocoon, not letting too much out to any one person or any one thing, because I wanted to be in control of myself so no one else would control me.
Yeah, it's terrible to live with that fear, you know? I understand what you're saying. It sounds like eventually what you want to do is have so much control that nobody can control you. By the time you get to that, you can get so brittle, you start cracking at the seams. You know, what I want to do is I want to prove to you that you're safe, that even if you didn't control all the elements around you, nothing bad's going to happen to you, that you're really okay, that you're really out of the streets, because I came from the streets, too, And it took me a long time to realize I wasn't still there.
Right. I'm a small kid. You know, I grew up smaller than everybody, but you know, you have to be tough.
Yeah, I hear.
You really have to be tough. And I mean, I learned my hand game is pretty good. I learned how to fight when I was younger. And I don't have to fight now.
Yeah, not anymore, though, you know.
Right. No, I don't have to. You know, I don't carry weapons, don't keep weapons in my home, nothing like that. But I always feel like prey, that there's a predator somewhere around, and I need to keep tough. I need to stay in shape. Just like you were saying, I always feel that way because the predator is out there. You know, I don't have...
You know, eventually you get to the point where you say, well, if the predator's out there, let him come and get me. And it's kind of the point I got to eventually. I felt so good to let down the guard, you know? And that's eventually you get the feeling that, well, if it's going to happen, let it happen. But in the meantime, I think I'll walk around and save my shoulders a little ache, you know?
Right.
It's tough out there. But it takes time. And when you get ready for it, you'll get ready for it.
One more thing, Armand.
Sure. What's your name, by the way?
I'm Jason,
yeah.
There's, you know, I'm a black guy, and, you know, we have a lot of issues, you know, for real. We have a lot of issues, and one of the things is the police. I have that look, you know, the typical
I understand.
Black guy look. And for some reason, I don't have any grudges against them other than the normal, you know, the normal things that just go on. It's not like I hate all police.
Okay, but Jason, I got to get going, but I want to address your issue. When you have that feeling that the police, it's like, you know, I used to be afraid of being around babies because I thought they'd always cry when they're around me. So every time I went around a baby, they would start crying. Mm. When I stopped fearing the babies crying me, they stopped crying. And the same thing with the police. It's like you put out something without even knowing it. Without even knowing it, you put out something that makes them be more attentive to you. You'll see. It'll take time. And it'll take time over your time, but you'll get there, I'm sure. You're a wise man. Jason, thanks for calling in. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Let me see now. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Are you taking it now, Reggie? No. Okay. Well, then I'll play you a little music. Here's a little something for you. Here's a little something.
I'm bored. I'm bored. So bored. Yes, I'm bored.
Reg, you went home. This is Ken now. And
I'm
he said
bored.
That it was
Me
self-contained
too.
And you would do the music
I'm
in between.
Bored.
Me too.
I'm bored. So bored. Yes, I'm bored.
Me too.
I'm bored.
Bored.
Me too. I'm bored.
Me too.
Well, you couldn't go outside, and you could take your bike for a ride, and you could go to the park and slide, and we could play a game of seek and hide. Well, you couldn't go outside, and you could take your bike for a ride, and you could go to the park and slide, and we could play a game of seek and hide. Well, you could read a book, or we could go to the kitchen and cook, or we could dig for worms on hooks, or we could play a game of rook. Well, you could read a book, or we could go to the kitchen and cook, or we could dig for worms on hooks, or we could play a game of rook. Well, we could pretend we're a bunch of giraffes who always like to laugh and laugh when they go floating on a raft while they're doing origami crafts. Well, we could pretend we're a bunch of giraffes who always like to laugh and laugh when they go floating on a raft while they're doing origami crafts. Or we could pretend that I am sick because I accidentally swallowed a chick, and you're the doctor and you come real quick. Your name could be Mabel and mine would be Rick. We could pretend that I am sick because I accidentally swallowed a chick, and you're the doctor and you come real quick. Your name could be Mabel and mine would be Rick. Well, we could could build a tower of blocks, or we could make a puppet from socks, or we could go collect some rocks, or we could use our sidewalk chalk, or we could build a tower of blocks, or we could make a puppet from socks, or we could go collect some rocks, or we could use our sidewalk chalk.
Not bored.
No bored.
Not bored.
No more.
Not bored.
Not bored. All right.
Not bored.
Ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba. Kentucky Tea. I'm bored. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Back with you after our hiatus. We're talking about the need to change, and we're talking about part of the need to change, and part of what we're seeing is this fear of being trapped. A very, very important thing. I think we underplay it a little bit. I think this idea of not having escapes and finding yourself stuck in one spot over and over again. Now, we had one caller who spoke to us about how she said her husband is trapped and feels trapped by the economy and the finances and the responsibilities, and their child is having difficulty, and he feels trapped with that. You could feel trapped. You could also feel okay. You could also get through that, you know? But there are times that you recognize in yourself that you don't have the thing that stimulates you, that makes you grow. Here's what they've learned about people and their minds. If people do repetitions, their brains don't grow. They don't stay rich. They start losing their facilities. It's like doing crossword puzzles. If you do the same, although I don't know, they say crossword puzzles are not a good idea. Is that right, Stephanie? They say it's not a good idea, but crossword puzzles are always challenging in a way. There's always something new about them. You know, what makes them not so new? But what they do suggest you do is do something else. Now, let me talk about retroactive inhibition and proactive inhibition. When we were studying memory, one of the things we learned is if you're trying to remember something and you're trying to do a task and you're trying to grow and trying to memorize something, it's always good to mix it up with some other task. Because it turns out that if you have something and it's just too repetitive and it's too the same, you don't learn as well as if you mix it with something else. So like if you're learning math, it would also be good to be taking a break and listening to music instead of doing some other kind of math. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We all feel a need to change. And a change is such an important thing, being able to go through changes. You have to kind of identify it. There is one group of people who believe that everything should stay the way it is. There's a joke about men and women. You know, the women, when a man gets married, when a person gets married, the woman says, I'm going to change that man. And she gets angry because the man doesn't change. And the man gets angry because the woman won't stay the same. No. Yes. That's it. He says, why don't you just stay the way you were? He gets angry. And she gets angry because he doesn't want to change. So it's all about don't be who you are. I want you to be somebody other than who you are. 7-year itch. Did you ever hear about the 7-year itch? 7-year itch is supposedly this concept that after 7 years of marriage, people get bored and they want to do changes. And the changes they look for after 6 or 7 years seem to be more profound. And they say, I need change, I need change, I need change. Bored? I need change. The 7-year itch is supposedly that, but what they discovered the 7-year itch is about, the 7-year itch really goes back to an old case of the itchies. The original 7-year itch was scabies, S-C-A-B-I-E-S, and it was a mite. See, you would get a mite, and you get this mite, and it would be a skin condition, usually a rash, which was very itchy and aggravating. And this chronic rash would last 7 years, and they called it the 7-year itch. Of course, then they made a movie about it, and they kind of said that the males have, that there are different relationship cycles. Well, is there an idea that if 7 years you need a change? Well, according to the research here, it says the following. The biggest number of divorces happen after 2 years. After 2 years, there are four times the number of divorces that take place after 7 years. So the real itch is on the second year. It's 2-year relationships, not 7-year relationships. You could kind of understand that too. Because by this time of the second year of the relationship, the honeymoon is over. That's when they say the honeymoon is over. And then you're facing things, you know. Then you're looking at things. Then things are beginning to change. The male cycle seems to be a little different. The males tend to have 3.5-year relationship cycles. So 3.5, while women tend to, and the men and women kind of challenge each other. But then they say that the nesting instinct, because of the nesting instinct, women tend to have this 6 to 7-year-old question about what they're doing. And it says, partly due to the nesting instinct and partly due to their innate patience. Take note, typically initiated by the male, with the majority of breakups occurring around 7 years, where the psychological security of the relationship is at its ebb. This being said, one also has to factor into the fact that females' nesting instincts could have an impact on female choice regarding divorce or breakup. And it has to do with the nesting instinct. And it's funny, you know, isn't it funny how you could get this kind of primitive thing? A man, 3.5 years after a relationship begins, feels this need to move on. Well, if you're a lucky man, you're conscious and you challenge it. And you say, hey, wait a minute, what is this? Because really, if you follow your need to move on all the time, what are you going to wind up doing? Moving on over and over again. If you challenge it, however, if you're willing to take it on, if you're willing to work it through, then you have a level of relationship that very few people are ever capable of. But those are the people who get through. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Let's take your call. This is Armand DeMille. 212.
No calls yet.
209-2900. How about you, my friends? How about you and your restlessness? Are you feeling restless? Are you feeling like you have to do something about your life? 212-209-2900. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Mr. DeMille.
Hi there.
How you doing? I didn't know I was going to get your program. I thought I was getting the station. Excuse me.
How did you know you got the program? So how did you just kind of dialed the number and you got through?
Well, I dialed the station. I was actually looking for Dr. Majid Ali.
Yeah, he was right before me.
I know, and I tried to get him, and
How is your life? How are the changes going on in your life?
Very strange. I've been very healthy. I've been a bull of a man all my life, and I'm a little older now, and it seems like I have one doctor diagnosis that I have a carcinoma on the nose, on the end of the nose, and it's kind of serious. And I want to get my bearings and see which direction I'm going to go and what I want to do.
And you feel like you'll be able to get through it, okay?
I sure do.
Yeah, you do.
Whatever it takes. If it takes shooting myself, I'll shoot myself. Whatever it takes from beginning to the end. I'm not afraid of anything.
You're not afraid, but how about this little carcinoma at the end of your nose?
How about it?
Yeah, well, no, I got it better than that. How about love relationships?
Yeah.
How do you do with them?
I haven't had any for a while. At one time in my life, that was a huge part of my life, huge part of my life.
So when we say if there is anything in life that you're afraid of, it would be love itself.
I don't say that's true.
No?
I don't think I'm afraid of it. I still look for it. I still love the way women look, and I still, but I'm not, right now I have a few other things I have to pursue, and I think there might be time for that still.
I'm sure you've got plenty of time for that.
I'm very vital, and women still like me. Some of them are confused enough to like me, and that's it.
Yeah, you're fine, man. What's your name?
Bob.
Bob, thank you for calling in. You can call the station at 209-292-800, and you'll be able to reach through to them, okay? Thanks for calling in. Armand DeMille, 209-2900.
Hello.
Yes, hi there. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? My name is Greg. As you know, I've been trying to get to you for years.
Hello, Greg.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a confused relationship, and I would like some kind of direction. I don't even know where to start, you know.
Tell me what confuses you.
What confuses me is that I think I'm in a bind. I think I'm in a hole, like, you know, because me and my partner and I is in some kind of business, and plus we have a personal relationship.
Very difficult. Very difficult to do both. Personal relationship and business together, very difficult.
Yeah, and if I feel like if I leave the relationship, she's not going to continue with the business, so I feel trapped, and, you know, it bothers me, you know, it drives me crazy, you know, I don't know what direction to go, because if I leave the relationship, then I feel like the business would not prosper, it would not go on, you know?
Sure. So here's a real question you have for yourself. Do you have a time frame set in your mind as to how long you could do this? What's your name again?
Oh, my name is Greg.
Greg, do you have a time frame in your mind? How long can you do this?
I say another 8 months, 6 to 8 months.
See, you got a kind of plan in your mind. And I think that's an important thing, that when you think you can't work it out, when you get the confusion between the two, being in business with and being partners with somebody is very difficult because your well-being depends on them and their well-being depends on you. So being able to handle a relationship better is very important. Now, the most important thing you could do is learn to communicate with her better. Learn to communicate in a way so that you're not harmful with each other. Do you still have a romantic life with her? Are you still close together?
Yes, we are. But the communication is like if I try to say something, she barks, and you know,
she barks.
She doesn't feel like. I mean, she don't feel like there's a problem.
Yeah, I hear.
You know.
I hear. So there's a point at which I think what you're going to have to do is to find some counselor that you could talk to yourself so that you could find a place to release some of this stuff out of your own heart. Because it's a very difficult situation you're in, especially when you're with somebody who treats you with disrespect. When you're with a woman who treats you with disrespect, you don't deserve it. You know what I mean? It's the last thing in the world people should do with each other is disrespect each other. So that's something that you're going to have to take care of at some point, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have a goal in mind, but at some point you could do it. And you could do it by entering your own counseling so you could learn to talk better and communicate better.
Okay, that's one way. That's one way, definitely.
That is one way for sure. And the other way is to learn to talk to her in a different kind of way. But it's very difficult when they... If there's a reason for the barking, maybe she's mad at you.
Yeah, I guess she's blaming me and I blame her, you know? You know what I'm saying? And then the next time, I feel so brave enough to just throw in the towel and just say, you know, wherever the chips fall, it may fall and whatever happen, you know?
Yeah, I feel bad for you. Yeah, it's a difficult thing. So you and she, really, maybe she's invested in doing something about it. Maybe she cares. Maybe she wants to do something about it. Do you think she would?
Yeah, I think she would, you know. I think she would, you know, but it's just been difficult, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, some days I feel like ending everything, the next minute, you know?
I understand. That's what most people do. They eventually get to a point and then they just blow it up, you know? Here's my challenge. My challenge is if you love somebody and you challenge what doesn't work between the two of you, eventually you come out of it at a better level than you ever did before. If you don't challenge it, then it just disintegrates, you know? It's got no way to go. But the challenge sometimes can't be confrontation. Sometimes that doesn't work.
Yeah.
The challenge could be honest talk.
Yeah, well, I feel like I could do better without the personal relationship. I feel like I could heal myself without being personal.
Yeah, you may need some time to do that, I hear.
You know, but I do want the business to go on because it is so much that is invested, you know?
Yeah.
And,
but, you know, I tell you, it can't be at the cost of your life. No matter what it is, Greg, it may be a whole lot invested, but you can't live under it, you know? You can't just suffer the world for a business. You can't kind of give your soul away for a business.
How old are you? At some point, I would have to just throw in the towel and say wherever the chips fall, they may fall.
That's exactly right.
And just see if she would have a heart to just say, all right, we're going to continue.
Lots of calls.
Continue the business and just be friends and, you know.
I understand.
Because, listen, I'm willing to be her best friend and I'm willing to continue the business and I'm willing to be here for her. But the personal life, that's what's killing me. I cannot handle it, period.
I know.
I cannot handle it. And I feel like I could, you know, heal myself without being personal with her.
Oh.
But I feel trapped.
I hear, Greg.
You know,
Greg, I think it might be wise for you to find one person you could talk to. I'm telling you. If you could find a counsel with somebody, anybody, and just talk about it, just to free your heart. I hear you are trapped. You're a good man. You know, keep me posted, and I'm glad you finally got through to me today.
Listen, it's been for the past year I've been trying. I've been listening to you for the past, long. I'm a fan of you. I mean, you are great.
I thank you so much. You know, you could always send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, and I'll also respond to that, you know?
Okay, then. Definitely, I will.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Greg.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I just had a word of advice for the caller before me.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder if he had a thought of sitting down with her and after whatever business they are doing, take her out and sit down and talk to her, ask her, what's the problem?
Have you done that successfully in your relationships?
Sure, it works.
It works, except, you know, he said something about she's barking at him. And there's this thing that happens when you have somebody barking at you, a man or a woman. When you're talking to them and they start barking at you, it says you're not going to get any civility out of this conversation. So I am sure on some level you're right, but it sounds like it's gotten to a point where it's the kind of negative that's accusatory, you know, where she's blaming him for everything and doesn't want to hear anything at the moment. So I think sitting down is the right thing. I think your advice is right, but I think sometimes people are not responsive.
Yeah, but to every problem, there's a solution. You see, let me tell you, two wrongs cannot make a right. That's number one. Number two, when one is barking, let one play it low. Let her bark. She's going to get tired. But after that, then you start talking. You should play low. You're the man.
I thank you so much. I understand your advice works for you. It doesn't always work for everybody. Okay, thanks so much for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I want to take one more call before we leave today. Hi. Hello there, you're on the air. Hello. Reggie, let's go for one more. Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Good.
Wow. We met probably about sometime in April.
Uh-huh.
He recommended me to Dr. James. This is Anne Marie.
Oh, yes. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. I'm doing a little better. Not as great, but I'm doing a little better. As for the gentleman that called earlier, I think he needs to just challenge it. Do what's best for him and let it just fall where it may, and eventually it will work out.
You really believe that if you just take it on and you decide to go for the challenge, you give it a shot?
Yeah, you don't have a choice at this point.
But you know the trouble is, Anne Marie, people are so responsive. They're so automatic. So many people fight badly. And they throw things in the garbage that really could be turned into beautiful jewels. You know,
no,
people do
I
things
say
and
that
they
because
say.
Because that's what I had to do. And
yeah.
In terms of the barking, I know I did that, and my husband did that. But it's almost like we had to get into it with this open. And not literally, but you really had to take on the bark and feel what it feels like. And then you go past the bark. Because in order for you to go beyond the mess that's in front of you, you got to go beyond it. And in order for you to go beyond it, you have to really stand in it to feel it.
I understand what you're saying, Anne Marie, but that's when you have a commitment from the other person to stand there and not run away. You know, lot of people won't stand there. A lot of people you
didn't.
Can... Yeah, what?
I mean, he didn't. You know, he didn't. I mean, he didn't. He didn't know how to stand there.
So he just got up and went away.
I had to stand there.
Yeah. So who were you talking to after you yelled at him and he went away?
I had to be the person to stand in it and feel it, you know?
Yeah, I hear. Well, that takes a lot of courage and a lot of work on your part.
It's an ongoing thing. But for me, I had to feel it because I was in the same place a gentleman called. Says, you know, he's in a lot of pain. I actually could feel his pain.
Yeah. We all feel
each
other.
He feels like he's stuck. Yeah.
Anne Marie, thank you so much for calling in. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Special thanks to all of you people. We will be back with you tomorrow at 1. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com.
Questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused about high-definition TV? Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI.